So this morning we'll be in chapter 13 of Proverbs, and I'll start by reading the verses. Verse 1, a wise son hears his father's instruction, but a scorner hears not rebuke. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressor shall eat violence. He that keeps his mouth keeps his life, but he that opens wide his lips shall have destruction. The soul of the sluggard desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. A righteous man hates lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and comes to shame. Righteousness keeps him that is upright in the way, but wickedness overthrows the sinner. There is that makes himself rich, yet has nothing, and there is that makes himself poor, yet has great riches. The ransom of a man's life are his riches, but the poor hears not rebuke. The light of the just rejoices, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. Only by pride comes contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathers by labor shall increase. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. Whoso despises the word shall be destroyed, but he that fears the commandment shall be rewarded. The law of the wise is the fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Good understanding gives favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. Excuse me. Every prudent man deals with knowledge, but a fool lays open his folly. A wicked messenger falls into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuses instruction, but he that regards reproof shall be honored. The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is abomination to fools to depart from evil. He that walks with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Evil pursues sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Much food is in the tillage of the poor, but there is that is destroyed for want of judgment. He that spares his rod hates his son, but he that loves him chastens him betimes. The righteous eateth to the satisfying of the soul, but the belly of the wicked shall want. Okay, let's go back and start over again and break it down. A wise son hears his father's instruction. Literally, that word instruction should be chastisement or reproof. So you hear what he's saying, okay? But a scorner hears not rebuke or reproof. Literally, that word hearing there, but a scorner hears not reproof, it's literally the word shama, which means hears with the intent to respond, hears intelligently with the intent to respond positively to what was said. Okay? So it says a wise son hears positively what father says with the intent to respond to it. But a scorner doesn't hear that rebuke. They might hear words. And you remember back in the Old Testament, every time that God spoke, and even in the Gospels, when God spoke, there was two things heard. Someone would hear God's voice. The righteous always heard God's voice, didn't they? And everybody else heard thunder. So see, they always hear something when God speaks, but does it make sense to them? See, the word of God being spoke to someone without the ears to hear sounds like fear. You know, they're afraid of what they hear. They don't understand. And not knowing is what is fearful to most people. Just not understanding, not knowing.
That's the difference between fear and reverence.
That's right. If you reverence God, there's no fear involved in it. Okay, verse 2. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressor or the deceitful shall do what? Shall eat what?
Violence.
Well, this word violence is literally, they shall eat their own injustice. Kind of sounds like Galatians 6, verse 7 and 8. God is not mocked. Man will reap what he sows. If he sows to the flesh, he'll reap corruption. If he sows to the Spirit, he'll reap the life of the ages. Correct? Verse 3, he goes on and says, he that guards or protects, not keeps, but guards, protects his mouth, guards or protects his what? His soul, really, is what the word should be there. Not life, but soul. Or his soulish life. So if I guard my mouth and I say the proper things, what am I doing? I'm protecting my soul, my life, my soul's life. But he that opens wide his lips shall have destruction. That word open wide literally speaks of the word licentious. Licentious means totally unrestrained. Now you talk to someone who is totally unrestrained in their mouth, you won't take long to figure out where they're at, will you? Lots of problems, lots of destruction in their lives. Notice it didn't say anything about sending you to hell. Okay. Still going back, you're still a child of God, you're going back, you're just going to have to be cleaned up before you get there, that's all. Okay, verse 4. The soul of the sluggard, the word sluggard literally means lazy. The soul of the lazy person wishes or desires and has nothing. How many people we know that just keep talking, someday I'm going to, and that's the perfect example of insanity. I'm going to have it someday, but I never do anything to change what I'm doing every day. So how could anything change? You got to do something to change it, don't you? You got to do a little exertion there in your life somewhere. But the soul of the diligent shall be made what? Or literally prosperous. The language literally says prosperous. That's a English terminology there from 16th century English of King James. It literally says prosperous. Verse 5 goes on and says, a righteous or a just man doesn't just hate lying, he personally hates lying. Okay, he personally hates lying.
Deception,
same thing. Yeah. You hate that lying or deception. But a wicked man or a morally wrong person is what? Or literally morally offensive. A morally wrong person is morally offensive and comes to shame. Verse 6 goes on to say, righteousness guards and protects the one that is what?
Upright.
It says upright, but it should be innocent. See? Righteousness guards and protects the one that is innocent in his course of life. Not way, but his course of life. So if you live it the right way, righteousness will protect you. Right? Huh?
It's just to relax.
It'll cause you to relax. That's right. But the wickedness of wickedness overthrows the sinner. Now that's not correct in his statement. It says, but wickedness, and literally should say guilt. But guilt overthrows the offender. If you do something wrong, the thing that will get you is guilt. Right? And that's what the language literally says. It should say guilt. But guilt overthrows the offender. Okay? I hate the word sinner because it has a connotation with it that's not true anymore. If Jesus, and it says it in the Gospels, Jesus was coming down the road one day and John the Baptist looked down the road and saw him coming down the road and said, "Behold the Lamb of God which comes to take away the sin of the world." Now, if that statement wasn't true, then we're still sinners. But he came and take away the sin of the world. If the sin's been taken away, then how could we possibly be sinners? See? If there's no law, if there's no speed limit on the street out front, how fast can you drive?
Well,
as you want to. But you'll reap what you sow. But if there's a speed limit and you go over it, you can be penalized, right? So as long as there's a law, and the church system is all set up under the law, they go to the Old Testament to find all the shadows and types, and they still live under the shadows and types and not in the reality of what we have today. They still don't think he's come yet. They're still waiting on him to come back as the Messiah. That was a couple thousand years ago. Come on. They're behind the times. So we need to open our eyes and see that this is the reality. Verse 7, there is that makes himself rich, yet has nothing at all. You see, the world is striving today to make more money. There's never enough, never enough. More, 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 more. Greed, greed, greed. And there is that makes himself poor, yet has abundant wealth. John 10:10 says, he came that you might have life, and the word might shouldn't be there. He came that you possess life and possess it more abundantly. See, that matches that verse. He come that you're wealthy. See, everything that our Father has, guess what we have? We have the same thing. We have access to all of it. But we have to first line up to where we really are. We have to know our identity. If I'm a orphan. If I'm an orphan and I'm running up and down the streets and my father owns everything within sight, but I don't know who my father is, what good would it do me?
Yeah.
If I'm running the streets, the wealthiest kid in the world, my father owns it all, but I don't know who my father is. And that's where the church world is. They've come up with all kinds of ideas and doctrines and dogmas to try to plans. If you jump through the hoop three times and pat your head and rub your belly and wink your eye, God will be your father.
Today.
And if you mess up, he won't be your father no more. See? All these stupid rules. One thing you can't change, and that is relationship. You're related to God because you came from God. End of discussion. I can lose fellowship with God because of what's going on in my mind. See, that guilt we were talking about a moment ago, that'll come upon you. The guilt can separate me in my mind, but technically, didn't Jesus, he said it, in the Old Testament, God said it, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That wasn't New Testament, that's Old Testament. So if God said, I'll never leave you, do you think he meant it?
Yes.
See, he can't leave. If he leaves you, you're dead.
Yeah.
Hello? Don't worry about it. It's okay. God's taking care of the whole thing. In verse 8, it goes on and says, the ransom of a man's soul, and not life, but soul, is his riches. But the poor hears not rebuke. When someone's starving to death, and you tell him, you better not steal that bread to eat, because you'll go to hell for it, do you think he's really going to listen to you? If you're hungry, there's even scripture that says, if someone steals to keep for their life, for food, don't condemn them for it. Even under the law it said that. Don't condemn when a man steals to save his life. Where's grace and mercy at? If someone's hungry and really starving, why in the world would you not just feed them? Give it to them. If they come and try to steal, say, hey, you don't have to steal it, I'll give it to you.
Help.
Huh?
Help.
And that's releasing the guilt off of them. I'll feed you.
Just help them and teach them how to.
That's right. I've always said, you know, I didn't like things being stole from me, but when I matured a little bit, I realized that's just God's way of getting it where it needed to be. He let me have it, and I really didn't need it, or I'd have still had it. And someone stole it, and I said, well, that was God's way of getting it where it needed to be to start with. Didn't make me mad, because God's provided everything in my life, so why should I complain?
Mm-hmm.
What have we got to complain? Look at those people in these third world countries. They show up, we was talking this morning, they show up with a tin can they found along the road to dip it in some kind of mush-looking stuff that most people wouldn't feed their dogs to sustain their life and eat out of a tin can. Or an old cup or broken bottle, they could just get something. And we got something to complain about? Man, wake up. This country's so spoiled, it's pathetic. But I appreciate what we got. Okay, where was that, 9? The light of the righteous rejoices, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. Let me reword that the way it should say. The light of the just brightens up. It doesn't rejoice. The language actually says brightens up. So your light gets what?
Brighter
and brighter. But the lamp or the light of the wicked shall be put out. That's just saying natural versus spiritual. The physical versus the spiritual. The natural man gets older and light goes out, don't it? The spiritual man gets brighter and brighter. Isn't that the journey we're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Destination, we're all going to that destination. Which person in this earth never died? Isn't everyone going to die?
Mm-hmm.
So why are we concerned about that?
Mm-hmm.
See, but if you know your destination, we're all going to the same place. It's not like I'm going my own special little journey, my own little destination all by myself, you know, as many of the preachers preach. It's not in the book. I have yet to find one, and I've challenged many people, and I've laid $1,000 on a table in front of people, and I've laid $500 in front of people and preachers and said, there it is. Prove me wrong, and that money's yours, because I'd be worth it to know if I was wrong. And no one's ever taken it. So I'm not concerned with it, because no one can prove it to me. There's not one place, because I've read this book hundreds and hundreds of times, and you know, it's just not here. There's no place that God ever said He'd put a human being in hell. That's preachers scaring you to try to get your money and to control and manipulate you. See? So don't worry about that. See, don't worry about this. Worry about the journey. Learn something on the journey. Don't worry about the destination. Verse 10. This is a good one. Note this one really good, because this is a good verse. Only by pride or arrogance comes contention. That means there can be no disputes unless there's arrogance and pride involved. If two people are humble and have a humility about them, how can they fight? Mm-hmm. It's got to be by pride and arrogance. It's the only way possible. But with the well-advised or the well-counseled, okay, the ones that are counseled together, is wisdom. So if you got enough sense to listen to people, you can get it taken care of, okay? You can work it out. Verse 11, wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathers by labor shall increase. Now the word labor right here is the word yad, a Hebrew word, and it means hand. So when you say, he that gathers by the hand shall increase, what do you think he's saying? What's your hand represent?
Ministry.
Your works. See? So if you work to earn what you get, it's great. And you're going to increase in your life. That's a natural process that God set in order. If you work, he said, if you don't work, you don't eat, right? If you work, you're going to have food to eat. You're going to have plenty for your family and to share with someone else. Okay? Verse 12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, and that's not a good rendering at all. Very should expectation delayed makes the mind sick. See, where's the problems come? The heart in the middle of your chest that pumps blood is not a problem. You can, whatever goes on, that doesn't make a difference. But here's where it hurts, right up here in your mind. When things don't go the way you want them, what's it do to you? It frustrates you, it irritates you. So it says, when the expectation is delayed, it makes the mind sick. But when the expectation comes, it is not a tree of life, but is the tree of life. It's the tree of life, okay? And that's Christ, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay? And I have this little acrostic I use, this little saying I use. Expectation equals disappointment. If you have an expectation from someone, I guarantee you, you will be disappointed. If you have no expectation, I guarantee you this, you will never be disappointed. Why do you think I'm never disappointed? I have no expectation from anyone any longer. I've learned that if I expect something from someone, I'm going to be disappointed, I'm going to be hurt, I'll be offended. But if I have no expectation except I just love them all and let it go, because I'm not in charge of anything. Right? God's in control. He'll take care of it. And so I don't expect anything, and I cannot be disappointed. Now, how many of you would like to never be disappointed again?
Okay.
All you have to do is just what I said right there. Never expect anything from anybody. Don't expect it. How many people, like at Christmas time, they go out and they buy presents for everybody, and they expect to get good gifts back, and they don't get them, and then what happens? I'm never buying them another gift. I spent $100 and they didn't buy me nothing, you know. Well, see, they give it the wrong way, didn't they? They were expecting something back. They give with the expectation of getting something back.
Give with strings.
So strings tied to everything will get you in trouble. Expectations will do nothing but hurt you, okay? Just leave that alone and you'll be all right. Okay, verse 13. Whoso despises the word shall be destroyed. The word despises there literally means holds as insignificant. Anybody that holds the word as insignificant shall be destroyed. But he that not fears but reveres the commandments or the law shall be what?
Rewarded.
The word rewarded here literally says more than that. It says, but he that reveres the commandment or the law shall be in a covenant of peace. Isn't that word you used a while ago, Lloyd?
Protected him.
Well, sure. You're in the covenant of peace. Who can bother you? See? There you go. You're just free. Verse 14. The law of the wise is the fountain or the source of life. Correct? That word fountain should be source. The law of the wise is the source of life. And that's Christ again, what we just spoke of. To depart from the snares of death. How do you get out of the snares of death? What is death? To be carnally minded is death. Be spiritually minded is life and peace, right? So to get out of that, we got to revere the commandment, and we'll be in that covenant of peace, and we'll be delivered from the snares of the world, right? Verse 15, good understanding gives favor, but the way of the transgressors or the deceitful is not hard, but yes, it is hard, but that's not the language that's used here. It says it's perpetual. The way of the transgressor or the deceitful is perpetual. Now, what does that mean? It means like you get in one of those rotating doors and you never get out of it. As long as you're working in deception in your life, you're going to get caught in that revolving door and you just can't get out of it. You get on a merry-go-round, you can't get off. It's just round and round and round. There's no end to it. The only way you can get out of that merry-go-round is step out of that deception. Is it your choice to step out?
Hey,
when God's ready, He'll bring you out. When you've had enough, you'll come out. And God will let you know when it's time. Okay? Sometimes, everybody don't have the same intestinal fortitude. How's that for a good word? Instead of saying guts. I wouldn't say guts, but... Everybody's different. And what it takes for one person, they might have to be hit between the eyes one time to wake up. Some might have to be hit 10 or 12 times, you know, before they wake up. They might have to be knocked out a few times before they'll wake up.
They might have some pretty hard, fallow ground.
They might have some real hard ground between their ears, and it might take a little jolt to wake it up, you know. So it's okay. But see, let God do it. So then, let God do it, whatever it takes. Let Him do it. Don't try to help God, because God's not looking for volunteers. He'll come get you when He wants you. Verse 16. Every prudent man deals with knowledge. Now, the word prudent doesn't mean much to most people, does it? What it literally means, every sensible man deals with knowledge. If you got any common sense at all, you're going to try to deal with knowledge. But a fool, okay, that's someone that's stupid and silly, displays his perverseness openly. Openly displays his perverseness. A stupid person can only tell you what's in his mind, can't he? And what would it be? Just to be stupid stuff, you know. And there's so many people that's caught up in life today and they think all this trivia of life is important. It's not. It's not important. But see, as long as we are in the same realm as they are, and he said, you're not of this world. You're in it, but you're not of it. So I'm here, but I'm not paying attention to the elections and the politics and all that foolishness of the world. See, because I've realized something. God is my source. When you realize God's your source, my life hasn't changed one bit through all this crazy economic upheaval. My life has not changed. That's not bragging. I haven't changed anything. I drive as many miles now as I ever drove. I never changed anything because that world is not my sufficiency. God is my sufficiency. I don't care how crazy it sounds. I haven't changed anything. I still go out to eat when I want to. If we need something, we go get it. And every time I look at the account, there's enough in there to do it. So what? I don't care if there's a whole bunch in there or not. If there's enough is all I'm concerned about. Mm-hmm. Look at your pattern of the Old Testament. When he said, when you go in the desert, only gather enough for one day's food, because I'll provide tomorrow too. I'll give you fresh stuff tomorrow. So I don't have any old moldy money laying in the bank account. It's new money coming in all the time. And it's always what I need when I need it. So don't worry about it, see? Don't worry about all the situations. The world is going to throw garbage at you every day. There's going to be so many tests come at you. If you pay attention to that and get your mind off of your journey onto all this stuff going on, you're going to miss something. And that's what the world wants you to do. Even when Jesus was in the temptations for 40 days and 40 nights, it said at the end of the temptation that the angels came and ministered to him, and the devil departed him for a season. That means he came back. And we're not talking about a person, we're talking about in his mind. That mind laid down for a season, and he got ministered to, and it was right there. As long as he was breathing and walking on this earth, that thing was tempting and whacking at him all the time. And don't think it's not going to do it to you. When you think that, you're in trouble. You're going to be got off guard. So don't worry about it. It's okay. God's got this whole thing taken care of.
Isn't that the journey?
That's the journey. That's the journey. A wicked messenger falls into mischief or distress. But a faithful messenger is what?
Helping.
Delivered.
That's not it, yeah. It should be deliverance. A faithful ambassador or messenger is deliverance. He will bring the message of deliverance. He will set you free from the bondages of religion and the world. See, that's what a good messenger does, a faithful messenger. Verse 18, it says, poverty and disgrace shall be to him that ignores discipline and correction. Poverty and disgrace shall be to him that refuses or ignores discipline and correction. But he that pays heed to the correction shall be not honored but glorified. In Romans 8, didn't he say, if he calls you, he'll equip you. And if he equip you, he'll glorify you. It's all there. It just keeps right on coming. Verse 19, the desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it's an abomination to the stupid or silly to depart from evil. People that don't have any understanding, any common sense, you know, they cannot quit what they're doing. They're going to continue doing it. But see, it's necessary. I'm not going to condemn that. Because if there's no opposition, would you ever change? If you never made a mistake, would you ever change the way you think? Contrary to most church doctrine, they think once you're saved, you're always fixed, and that's all there is to it. But we all got saved a long time ago, so no big deal. But we have to know that my thinking process today is different from what it was yesterday. If I'm continuing on in my experience and my journey, I'm learning every day, aren't I? See, and what I thought about, and you hear even the political world, they say, well, you're a flip-flopper. He used to say this, and now he says that. Well, it should be. A politician that stays the same year after year after year after year isn't going to do us any good because times are changing. And if he isn't maturing and growing up, then I don't want him anywhere near me. I wouldn't want him. I want somebody that's going with what's going on now. I want someone that's progressing in their life. I want to hear someone telling me about God that's progressing in his life. If he's already arrived, he ain't here. He's gone. If he's got to the pinnacle, he wouldn't be here, would he? So I want someone that's continually growing in this process. And the church world thinks that they've already got all there is, and they don't have a clue. They don't know anything yet. And Job said it in Job, what channel, chapter? I know it's verse 34 and 35. But anyway, he said, I think it's in Job 30-something, he said, in the first 2 days they hear nothing at all. See, they think, I can't think of the chapter right now, but it's in there. Somebody, 32 or 33 verse something. But anyway, he says that the first 2 days they hear nothing at all. Well, guess what? If they don't hear nothing, they think they do. So they're going to argue and fuss with you about what's going on. And I heard this statement a long time ago, and I really appreciate it. You should never argue with a fool, because all you're doing is confirming there's two in the world. So let that and go.
Stupid, silly, in your area.
Yep. Just confirming there's two of them. Okay, verse 20. He that walks with wise men shall be wise. Huh, that's pretty simple, isn't it? You hang around with smart people, what will you end up being? You're going to learn from them, right? If you're a thief and you run, if you run around with a bunch of thieves and you're not a thief, guess what you'll be labeled?
Thief.
If you're a drug addict, if you run with people as drug addicts, what are they going to call you? See? Whatever, a drunkard, same way. If people are drunkards that you hang around with, what are they going to call you? Drunk. Whether you are or not, you're going to get labeled, and eventually you'll probably get snagged into it. In the New Testament, I think Jesus said in the Gospels, he said, be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good lifestyles. See, the wicked ones will corrupt the good ones if you hang around with them. If you're not secure in who you are, they'll get you. He said, but a companion of the stupid and silly shall be destroyed. And when it says destroyed, that word should say, actually, they would be crying out in distress. Not destroyed, but they would cry out in distress. That means they're probably going to have a little bit of pain and suffering in their life, doesn't it? And God didn't do it to them. They did it to themselves, didn't they? Because they were foolish. 21. Evil pursues sinners. That's not a good one. Evil pursues one accounted guilty or exposed to condemnation. But to the righteous, good shall be repaid. If I am exposed to condemnation or I think myself guilty, what do you think I'm going to get? I'm going to believe that I deserve everything I get, aren't I? You know how many people I know that say it to me? Oh, I'm no good. I deserve this. That's not what God says. I've given some of you, I know, a list of the 40 things or 41 things that God says you are. You're holy. You're righteous. You're unblameable. You're not guilty. You're unaccusable. You're sons of God. That sound bad? Well, why would he say that if you're a dirty, rotten sinner? He knows better because he's already cleansed you, whether you believe it or not. And it doesn't make any difference. It says, even if you deny him, he cannot deny himself. And himself is in each one of us. So we're all right. It's just the world that's messed up, and that's the truth. That's not just a cliche. That's the truth. They're messed up.
Isn't that what they just attract that stuff to themselves?
Well, they're speaking the negative into their lives. It says that there is life or death in the power of the tongue, and they that love it will eat the fruit thereof, whether it's life or death. If I speak death into my life, what am I going to have? I'm going to have all kinds of condemnation, guilt, and death. And if I speak life into my life, I'm going to live from that, the good, and live by it. Got to get the whole book. You can't just take a piece of it and make it work for you. It's the whole picture. 22. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, or literally his grandchildren. Correct? A godly man will leave that for his grandchildren. And the wealth of the what? The ones that are accounted guilty, or the ones exposed to condemnation, is laid up. Those, the, what they, their wealth is laid up for the just, or the righteous ones. So, you know, I heard a man one time say, he was going to the airport, and a man came out and said, oh, I'm losing millions of dollars. I got to get in the next cab. I got to get it. I got to get to this meeting. And he said, go ahead. Someone said, you know that guy? He said, no, because everybody was waiting in line for a cab, and the guy next in line gave him his cab, you know. And he said, well, why'd you do that? He said, he works for me. He said, he worked for me. He said, yeah, the wealth of the wicked's laid up for the righteous. He's out there working, make it. It's for me. Go ahead. I'm not excited. I can relax and say, aha, uh-huh, and just lay back and relax and let that guy go out there and beat his brains out and make it for me. That's okay. It was a little extreme in what he said, but it got the point across. Yeah. He works for me. The wicked's working for who? The righteous. If you understand it. Okay? Verse 23, much food is in the tillage of the poor. That's not really correct. The word tillage doesn't say what it should. It should say that there's a lot of food in the fallow ground of the poor. In the fallow ground. Fallow ground is ground that's been laid by, that's not been farmed. It's been laid there for a long time, and the crust has got hard on the surface. Just like our thinking processes, when God hasn't dealt with them for a long time, they get hard and crusty, and God's got to break them up by one means or another. He can take an iron tool, which iron speaks of stubborn and strong, and he can send somebody a hard head right in front of you and just bust you right in the nose some way to get your attention. Can he?
Not being cultivated.
It's not been cultivated, but God has a way of breaking it up. And his ways are past finding out, so how he does it, I can't tell you exact pattern. Nobody can they? Because each one of us are different. We have a different DNA, we have a different fingerprint, so there's no way possible everybody is the same. He deal with you as an individual. But there is that is destroyed for want of judgment. The New American Standard, let me see what's that one, that's the Bible. New American Standard, I got one right here, if I can get to it. Verse 23, I said, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Abundant food is in the fallow ground of the poor, but it is swept away by injustice. That's a better rendering. It's swept away by injustice. How many poor people have things but get it stolen by the rich and the wealthy of the world? That's the way of the world. They steal from the poor. You know, by law, they say, oh, we got a law, we can do it. You know, the lawyers and the judges and the doctors and all the wealthy people, they can just keep taking from us. And they do. But that's okay. They have their reward now. My reward's for eternity. Theirs will be gone. It's okay. Verse 24. He that spares his rod hates his son. He's telling you, if he don't correct you, he don't love you. So sooner or later, we're going to get corrected, aren't we? But he that loves him chastens him early. So that says if he loves you, he's going to start correcting you early. I didn't know God was correcting me in my life early. I didn't know. Did you know? But you know, my mother died when I was less than 2 years old. I didn't know I was started on a journey already. Had no idea until I was probably already beyond 40 before I realized it. You know, not when I started going to church or anything, but when I realized God started something a long time ago. He started preparing me, and I had no idea. At 2, how would I know? You know, or 10 or 12 or 15 or 20, how would I know until God opens it up? Verse 25, the righteous or the just eats to the satisfying of his soul, but the belly of the wicked shall want. What's he saying? The righteous is always going to have enough to satisfy them, but the wicked will never have enough. And the Living Bible says it this way. I think it's kind of cute. The good man eats to live, but the evil man lives to eat. See, there's rich folk that say, where am I going to eat today? I think I'll fly to Paris and have some snails or something, you know? And for supper, I might just fly over to South America. That's all they do. I mean, they got nothing more to do than just to eat. They don't think life is any more than just lavishing themselves with all the luxuries of the world. And that's not what life is about, is it? It's about taking this journey and learning what we can learn about our Father. And when we learn about our Father, tell me what we're really doing. Absolutely. When you learn about your Father, you find out who you are. Because if you came from Him, you have His DNA. You have His mind. And Paul said we have the mind of Christ, don't we? The mind of Christ is nothing more than the mind of God. So if we have that, we need to find out what we got. And it's on the journey. The journey will reveal to you what you have. And don't look at any other human being on the face of the earth and say, I wished I had what they had, because you don't know what you got there yet. And until you get to your destination, you will never know. You'll never know the totality till you get to your destination, back to your Father. He's the author and the finisher of our faith and everything else about us.